There were malicious actors too. Those who broke into systems were known as crackers, and the jargon file, created in 1975 to offer a glossary of useful words for those trying to understand computer hackers, tried to corral those with bad intent into that definition. It was too late. Hackers had first been used in 1963 to describe people who had messed up the MIT phone system, though the preference might have been to call them freakers, phone hackers. By 1976, hacker had entered the media lexicon to describe someone who broke into computer systems. The journalist Stephen Levy tried to turn the tide in 1984 with his book, Hackers, about heroes of the computer revolution who did good things, but it only made the word better known. Meanwhile, news organizations adopted the unfamiliar word eagerly as stories began to appear about this new world, as computers began invading offices, and soon homes. Despite that, it's easy to think that bots, malware, ransomware, and hacker groups only began to be a problem in the past few years, and that the hassle they cause is difficult to stop only because it is all so recent. But that isn't true at all. As is clear, hacking, as in breaking into systems, is many decades old. But more importantly, many of the apparently novel attacks described in this book were outlined in academic research as much as 20 years before, or stem from errors in coding that date back decades. Hacking isn't new, and neither are the techniques being used to carry it out. For example, the idea of a computer virus, code which could persuade the machine that it ran on to make more copies of that code so it replicated, as a virus does in a cell, was first proposed by John von Neumann, seen by many as the father of the modern computer, in a scientific paper in 1949. But that was theory. Finding a computer with enough spare power to do so was a different matter. When the PC came along, it created the opportunity to test the idea to its limits. The first self-replicating virus code in 1982, called Elk Cloner, targeted the Apple II computer, infecting it via the floppy disk that was then needed to load programs. In 1983, a graduate student at the University of California, Fred Cohen, demonstrated the same idea and infected a Unix mainframe computer within 5 minutes. In 1986, his PhD thesis offered a formal proof of the concept. The same year saw the first PC viruses which couldn't simply be wiped by restarting the machine because they edited parts of the master boot record, read at startup to instigate essential system programs. In 1988, the first internet worm appeared and spread from machine to machine by copying itself until it crashed due to an error in its code after infecting about 3% of all connected machines. The arrival of the PC in businesses and then homes in the 1990s helped create fresh new targets for malicious exploitation. The explosion of the internet also created new ways to reach those targets. Just as building the first ships led to the first shipwreck, so the spread of computing created the opportunity for hackers of every level to discover what they could do. While the threat of hackers has been around for decades, and the method and avenue of attack have shifted over the years, our understanding of them mostly hasn't, and nor has the average person's understanding of computers, where one of the biggest misconceptions is that eventually, someday, we will have completely secure devices. The reality is that you can't guarantee that any software which does anything useful can ever be rendered totally secure. Any computing system, whether PC, phone, or dumb device, comprises layers of programs, from the chip's inbuilt methods of addition and subtraction, known as the microarchitecture, to the firmware, which coordinates and runs all the pieces of hardware, to the operating system, OS, which sits above the firmware and provides a software layer for interaction, to the applications that run on the OS. Any of those can contain bugs. Intel famously had a bug in the microarchitecture of the first Pentium microprocessor in 1994, which returned wrong answers for certain floating-point calculations. But while the FDIV bug, as it was known, was essentially harmless, unless you were building spacecraft whose path would rely on those specific calculations' results, the next bug to be discovered in the Pentium microarchitecture, called FOOF, could make the processor halt regardless of the operating system being used. For a while, it posed a risk to the entire infrastructure of the web, since someone malicious who could get a program to run on a